Many heating and cooling companies talk about big paydays, but here's what they don't say. With flat rate pay, if you're in training, you're not paid. Doing paperwork, not paid. Cleaning the shop, not paid. Warranty callbacks often aren't paid either. And during slow season, good luck. Some technicians end up making less than minimum wage when the hours aren't there. At Lee Heating and Cooling, we refuse to operate that way. If you're a journeyman who believes in doing the job right, not just fast, Lee Heating and Cooling is hiring. Built on integrity, paid by the hour.
A lot of things in Wyoming depend on the weather. Your financial future shouldn't. This is Frank Boley with Legacy Ridge Private Wealth in Sheridan. Our team provides disciplined financial guidance to help individuals, families, and businesses create a plan built for the long run. Don't leave your future to chance. Visit us at 45 North Main next to Frackleton's. Legacy Ridge Private Wealth. Grounded in values, built for generations. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC.
Summer is here, and so is the Summer Spectacular at Sheridan Honda. Join us on the second and fourth Friday every month, all summer long. Sign up for drawings like a free oil change or a gas card every week. Prizes change every Friday, so there's always something new. Lunch will be from 11 to 1, so stop by, sign up, grab a bite, and check out our awesome inventory. Sheridan Honda, Sheridan's one-stop shop for all your automotive and power sports needs. Prizes change weekly, so make sure you show up and don't miss out.
Legacy Diamond and Gems invite you to see their special display, Great American Gems, showing gemstones mined right here across the United States, featuring Montana Yogo sapphires, rare Utah red beryl, and a variety of beautiful gemstones from Arizona, California, Idaho, Maine, Montana, Oregon, and of course, Wyoming. Great American Gems, see them now at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Thursday, May 28th. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we are joined by Sheridan County Undersheriff Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing, Floyd?
Doing well. How are things down at the office?
Pretty busy. I mean, we've been pretty steady ever since the weather warmed up. We got the increased traffic from all the vacationers that seem to be coming here earlier and earlier every year, so it's been pretty steady.
Yeah. You know, I think about the weather and how much cabin fever we're usually suffering about this time of year. And I was thinking that maybe it might be a little lighter. And I also assumed that with gas prices the way that they are, the traveling might be cut down a little bit. But I have not heard that at all. I've heard that it's still pretty busy right now. People getting out.
Yeah, no, I would very much agree. We definitely see the vacationers still coming through. I guess only time will tell as far as those high gas prices, if it will affect our summer traffic.
Yeah. One thing bringing people in is graduation. Now, the traffic concerns. What concerns does the sheriff's office actually have for graduation week here in Sheridan County?
So I think this will round out our local schools as far as graduations. We had a handful of them last weekend. This weekend, Bighorn and Tongue River graduation will be Saturday, May 30th. Bighorn will be at 1 p.m. followed by Tongue River High School at 4 p.m. respectively. Obviously, with graduations, we're going to have increased traffic, a lot of families coming in. So things to be cognizant and aware of is going to be obviously plan accordingly. Leave early. I went to the Sheridan High School graduation and we were there early and parking was backed up for several blocks.
Oh, wow.
Even early on. So I don't anticipate that to the extent of Bighorn and Tongue River, but still leave early. Get that good parking spot, and then you're ready to prep and get a spot in the stands. And then obviously be cognizant of vehicle traffic and also everybody parking and walking, probably crossing the street as you're approaching too.
And watch for those little ones.
Yes.
Boy, howdy. They get excited. Maybe they're seeing their big brother, their big sister in their gown, and they just want a hug, and they can come out from behind a vehicle like you wouldn't believe. So make sure that you're keeping your head on a swivel and you're watching and expecting the unexpected. Now, how about folks traveling around who don't have anything to do with the graduation? They just kind of need to get their day-to-day done.
Yeah, and again, just, you know, anticipate the heavy traffic flow. It'll be on, you know, north, obviously north and south of Sheridan. So the Bighorn area, Highway 87 and 330. I mean, those are always busy anyway, right? So that'll be very, very busy in the Bighorn area, and then probably a lot of traffic between Dayton and Ranchester.
Now, how does the sheriff's office prepare for graduation weekends? Do we throw extra deputies on, or we pretty much man to the point where we're okay?
Correct. Yeah, we look at staffing, but we don't necessarily coordinate and have additional staffing on specific to this, because in all reality, once spring kicks off and we have summer, we have events all throughout the summer in Sheridan County.
And speaking of one of those, we got the Dead Swede coming up. Now, this isn't until closer to the end, right? Or when is this?
No, this is actually coming up. It'll be June 6th.
June 6th. So this is right around the corner. Can you remind folks what the Dead Swede bike race is, and how large is this event expected to be this year? Because it is growing all the time.
Oh, it very much is. So I ended up talking to one of the members that's helping put on the Dead Swede bike race. She informed me that we have close to 1,000 riders this year. They anticipate about the same amount that we had last year. I did peruse, there is a website for the Dead Swede bike race that gives off varying details of the maps that the routes are. The routes vary from 20-mile to 100-mile distances.
That's dedication I don't have.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of bikers. And I believe originally they used to go up the mountain, up Red Grade. They have since changed and altered that path. So you have, looking at the mapping, I mean, they go north on county roads up to like the Dayton, Ranchester areas. They go south and east. I think 14 East was a small portion of it, but they're all around the Sheridan area on different county roads and state highways and different distances. So those things are going to be staggered as far mm-hmm. as when they start. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of bike traffic. Be careful of that, cognizant of the bikers. We want to remind the bikers just the rules of the road, right? Anticipate vehicle traffic, and likewise the vehicle traffic. Anticipate bikers being on the road. They could be overtaking somebody else, but it will be slow going on some of these areas if you end up getting behind them, because it's going to be a plethora of bikers to pass over. So I would very much, if you're looking at wanting to travel around on June 6th, maybe take a look at the Dead Swede bike race on the website and look at the anticipated start times and the travel routes, so you know what areas to avoid should you choose to. With that being said, the only other thing I want to throw out there is in talking with the lady with regard to the Dead Swede, she reminded me to let everybody know that on the 6th, they have events planned throughout the duration of the day at Kendrick Park. Okay. I believe they have like bands and stuff like that, but it runs for the duration of the day.
Oh, wow. So they're going to have quite a bit of activity out there outside of the bike race itself. There's a lot that comes with this.
Yeah, correct. So that's where I believe the bike will, like the race will originate and end, is I think it comes back, it starts and ends at that location, but they'll have events there all day long and they welcome the public to come and attend.
Now, when it comes to organizing this, do they approach the sheriff's office and say, hey, can we get a couple deputies out there? Or do you guys just kind of patrol as normal, checking things out?
They've actually been wonderful to deal with. So they haven't requested any additional law enforcement efforts. They handle pretty much everything in house with them. I can't speak for sure, but I know they have a handful of staff, likely probably volunteers that help with the race event. And they basically police it themselves. So they haven't ever, that I'm aware of, asked us for extra assistance as far as patrol, like law enforcement, unless there's potentially a traffic issue or a concern or some call comes up.
What concerns do you go over with the deputies and those who are going to be out there as far as, hey, I want you to look out for this, keep an eye on that when it comes to these bigger events?
Again, obviously, we'll supplement certain times, but the deputies are pretty keenly aware just to kind of, obviously, with these routes and with the traffic, that we want to make sure that we're visible out there and that we're proactive. So you will see patrol deputies making passes through these areas, no different than like when we do the Tongue Canyon. We do that that race as far as running through there. You'll see us out there pretty heavily just to hopefully be a presence and slow traffic down and everybody can have fun and nobody gets hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, you know, I'm not a speeder anymore, but every time I pass one of the trucks or one of the cars, I check my speed. So just being in the area is a preventative measure. Now, do you have any safety advice for cyclists who will be taking part in the event?
Obviously, just obey the rules of the road. I believe on the Dead Swede website, they actually have a list of guidelines that they request for the racers to follow. So I'm sure that those concerns have also been conveyed to them when they participate in the bike race. So obviously, just obey the rules of the road. And, you know, you're going to be sharing that roadway with possibly pedestrian traffic and very much vehicle traffic.
Boy, it'd be funny just being out there riding your bike on a simple day and all of a sudden you're involved in a bike race.
Yeah.
All right. On that, we're going to take our first commercial break. More with the Sheridan County Sheriff's Office when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hey, Cowboy fans. This is Tyler Hughes, quarterback for Wyoming football. I want to invite you to support all Wyoming student-athletes by playing in this year's Cowboy Joe Club Golf Series. There are 11 chances to have a blast with fellow Pokes fans while making a real impact on Wyoming athletics. Your participation helps provide opportunities for student-athletes like me and my teammates to chase our dreams and represent the brown and gold with pride. To learn more or sign up today, visit cowboyjoeclub.com or call 307-7 766-6242.
Mexico's famously feuding, painterly power couple Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera leave the underworld and reunite on the Day of the Dead, briefly reliving their tumultuous love, embracing both the passion and the pain before bidding the land of the living a final farewell. The Met Live presents El Último Sueño de Frida y Diego on the YO Theater's big screen, Saturday, May 30th at 11 o'clock. Get your tickets for this outstanding event today at the YO box office or online at yotheater.com.
Hello, I'm Kurt Lair with Midas. You ever turn down the radio just to listen to your car? Was that a squeak or a grind or did something just fall off? Yep, probably time for Midas. Right now, save up to $80 on tires and get a free oil change when you buy four tires. That's real savings on something your car actually needs, whether it's brakes, suspension, warning lights, or even just routine maintenance. Midas has you covered. Stop by Midas on East Brundage Lane today before your car starts talking back. Midas Tire and Auto on East Brundage Lane in Sheridan.
This announcement brought to you by Farmers Co-op Country Store on Coffeen Avenue, home of ethanol-free premium fuel.
I'm Brooke on behalf of the Sheridan County Predator Management District. Sheridan County is seeing record numbers of rabies cases this year. If you or a family member comes across an animal that is acting strange or out of the ordinary, please do not try to approach that animal. Report to the district's rabies handler, Paul Herman, for extraction and testing. Please help keep Sheridan County rabies safe.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're sitting and chatting with Sheridan County Undersheriff Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Now, with the weather improving over the commercial, we were talking about how more people are going to be heading up into the mountains. And some of the road situations up there aren't what we would call ideal. But, Undersheriff, we've got the Mountain Patrol. What is the Mountain Patrol, and when will this begin for the season?
Yes, Mountain Patrol, that's something we've had for the last several years, ever since I started. It's a grant provided by the Forest Service to supplement law enforcement up on the mountain. So we receive this grant every year. It always starts June 1st. So the amount of hours allotted to each deputy is dependent on the amount of deputies that put in for it. What that basically means is once this starts, deputies will be supplementing and working this grant and be solely up on Forest Service roads. And that could be up on the mountain, that could be Tongue Canyon area, and that could even be Little Horn. But expect to see a law enforcement presence by us up there for the duration of the summer.
And with this grant, is this one of those situations where if a deputy wants to get some extra hours in, he just raises his hand or she says, I want up on the hill?
Yeah. Yeah. So with many of our grants, basically an email will go out and just trying to gauge interest. And any deputy that signs on to it, obviously we divide the number of hours by the number of deputies. And so they get that, and then they have allotted amount of time to get those hours completed.
Now, one thing that you brought up that I thought was great, and I'm going to ask kind of the importance of it. Why is it important for people to report suspicious activities in remote areas? Here in Wyoming, a lot of us want to say, hey, we all mind our own business, but this is important.
Yes. Obviously, we always want, you know, kind of the old adage is if you see something, say something. Ever so important up there, obviously, communication is much more difficult, right? There's not usually cell phone connectivity. One thing that is an advantage of technology that we have now is that satellite text feature on a lot of the newer phones where it will link up and you can shoot texts that way. And so then we can get some form of communication if there's a crime. But usually on the mountain in years past, we're going to have a range of crimes. Usually that could be, you know, like cabin or camper burglaries, stuff like that, right? So that's where we want to let, you know, the citizens know and the community know if they're up there enjoying. We want them to continue to have fun because most of the people that go up on the mountain are there to have a good time and unwind and get away and enjoy the mountains. And so we want to continue with that. And to continue with that, you know, obviously we want them to report any suspicious activity that they think might be a crime or just suspicious enough you think that we should check it out.
If, a lot of times I've noticed that that kind of behavior comes with a gut feeling. You know, if it's somebody packing something out of their camper, you can kind of tell that's a bit different than somebody loading a car of stolen things out of a camper. Gut feeling. And I would just say, trust your gut. Because if a deputy were to pull up on my campsite and just want to have a conversation, no harm, no foul.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, you'll see us up there. Generally, when we're up there, we're engaging the public in conversation, stopping to see how everything's going. And, you know, I think they generally like us being up there and we'll always get a friendly wave. So in addition to us, you will have a couple Forest Service law enforcement officers and then a handful of the Forest Service personnel that are up there that you'll generally see on the trails or whatnot.
All right. So folks, if you see something, don't be afraid. Say something. Once again, if a deputy gets up there and finds out that there was nothing going on, there's no harm, no foul. Conversation is had and probably some hands being shook. Who knows? You might even be making a new friend. Now, as we look at preparations to go back up in there right now, we've got a little bit of snow up there yet.
Yeah, very much so. It's kind of been weird because it doesn't feel like we've gotten a lot of moisture down here, but there's still snow. Generally, every year we get those same spots that the snow drifts and it's the last to recede. As of right now, we still have snow in the area of Sawmill Divide. And we want to remind the public, it's recommended no vehicles should attempt to pass through the area. Many vehicles are getting stuck. We want to remind them that just because it's open doesn't mean it's safe or smart to drive through and that we will not retrieve vehicles or assist in getting vehicles unstuck. It's the responsibility of the vehicle owner and operator. And I wanted to kind of elaborate on that. So for example, I pulled this like search and rescue call outs for this past year. The summer and fall, we had approximately 5 calls for search and rescue call outs. In the last 2 months, we've had 9.
Wow.
Which is kind of crazy when you think about the lack, you know, it's not like we've had a ton of snow. We've had a couple storms that have snowed up there and rained down here, but not all the calls have been specific to vehicles getting stuck. But the two reminders are, there was a handful of vehicles that did get stuck up there because they're trying to traverse areas that have too much snow. And once they get stuck, they call. If we can't get up there, then search and rescue may be paged. But a lot of times they're not wanting their vehicles taken. And that's something that we nor search and rescue will do. We can assist with the removal or retrieval of the vehicle, and that will fall on the tow agency. but during inclement weather or road conditions, we're calling the tows, but a lot of time the tow trucks aren't going to go up there and get your vehicle at that time. So in all reality, your vehicle could be stuck up there for a length of time until the snow melts and you can retrieve it, or a tow truck can get up there and retrieve it. So we just want to remind everybody, be safe. If it looks like too much snow, don't try to pass through it and return and go up there another day.
You know, it always kind of surprises me too. The I guess you could say temperature difference as you get up there in the higher elevations. I think it was the beginning of June, and we had a friend come in from out of town, and I thought, I'll show him Tie Hack. That's really pretty up there. Well, we got up there and pulled into the parking area just off the side of the highway. And once we were in that parking area, I thought, we'll walk down. It's a beautiful day. Let's just take a walk. I mean, from the parking area down to the dam isn't too far. And sure enough, we were walking through 3-4 feet of snow. And it really surprised me that it was still there at the beginning of June. Now, granted, this was a couple years ago, but situations like that can really catch you by surprise.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And the ones that we had on these calls, predominantly it was stuck vehicles, but we also had a couple where people were either deciding to stay. So that was another key point to hit when you're heading up there for the night or the day. Obviously communicate your travel plans with somebody else, because we had a handful of calls where they're like, they promised they're going to be back down or return to camp and they didn't. And so now we're paging out search and rescue to hunt down people, and they end up staying or coming down later, change their travel or sleeping plans for the night. Obviously with that texting feature, text the family that you advised when you were going to be up there and come back, so they know of the change in plans. So then hopefully they're not stressing out and then calling us and we're not having to come search for you.
And there's always that situation we're talking about, mostly during hunting seasons. If you're going to go somewhere alone, at least leave a note. You know, if you don't have somebody that you want to text and tell them where you're going to go or how long you're going to be there, at least write a note and leave it on your kitchen counter or something, you know, somewhere where somebody can see it. So we have an idea of, hey, how long are you going to be gone? And exactly where are you going? What area are you going to be in? Speaking with search and rescue and the sheriff's office over the years, it's a needle in a haystack up there. And if we don't know where, how, or why you're going up there, or how long you're going to be there, this could be days trying to find you if something unfortunate were to happen.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, that's a great point. So search and rescue, we only have so many resources available there. And when we've had these different call outs, just like, for example, like when you said a specific location, maybe if for hunting, for example, there's 3 or 4 locations that you're looking at going to go hunting and you don't know till you get up there, because, you know, if you see a handful of vehicles at the first spot, you're likely to travel on to a spot that isn't so busy. Give those 3 to 4 locations. You can write them all down. You don't have to set yourself to just one. Give the other locations, but in all reality, when there's a search and rescue call out, we're going to go to the areas that we believe you to be at. And that's likely going to come from information obtained from the family member that called in. Mm-hmm. And those are the areas we're going to key in initially. Hopefully we can find the vehicle and go from there, but you're right. It's a needle in a haystack, especially for hunting, because you can find the vehicle and the likelihood of sticking to a trail is probably much slimmer when you're hunting. So, makes it much, much easier if you can provide some of that information to a family member when you leave, so then we know where to start hunting and looking for you.
And I'll admit, under sheriff, I've done it before myself. You know, the wife and I are going up into one area, but we get there and we think, wow, there's just too many people. We're not going to get what we really want. So let's go to this trail instead. And so then there's, you know, us two kind of going off the beaten trail and into areas that we haven't told anybody where we're at. And I know bad things can happen so fast. And it's usually in those types of situations where we get into trouble. So make sure that you're prepared for the worst, and we all, you know, hope for the best. Now, when we talk about these county roads, there was something that you brought up over the commercial break that I would love to just touch on, sir, if we could. And that is washboard and speeds, these really tight corners, and ATVs a lot of the time, trying to pass somebody. What would you like folks to know about that?
Just be aware of the road conditions. I think for the most part, the residents here are familiar with what our roads can look like in early and late spring until our county guys can get on it and grade it and make it look pretty and nice and soft. So just be aware of the road conditions and that they can deteriorate pretty quickly, right? I mean, we've all driven on those roads where it's great. Then all of a sudden you hit washboard and you're like maybe rounding a curve or something like that. And be cognizant of other motoring traffic. We had talked about Red Grade Road, for example, where slower moving vehicles will be overtaken by faster vehicles. And a lot of times, like a lot of those faster vehicles could be an ATV and they're not necessarily speeding, but they don't have to slow down to the extent that like say a 3/4 ton pickup does going up Red Grade Road in some of those poor like road conditions where it's extremely bumpy. So just be cognizant of if you're traveling up slowly, just continuously, and I try to make it a train of habit to always look in my rearview mirror and side view mirrors because you never know when someone's going to be up on you. And I think anybody that's traveled up Red Grade knows that the dirt bikes and the four wheelers and the ATV or the side by sides can travel much quicker and more seamlessly than our full size vehicles can.
Just make sure that there's no one behind you. Check those blind spots as if you were on a freeway, because that is a very, very busy road. Even it's under construction right now, but other backcountry roads also get just as busy. What do you take as far as like safety equipment or precautions before you and the family head up there?
So unfortunately for me, I haven't been up the mountain a lot. So when I have done mountain patrol and we have gone up for the day, obviously I ensure that I have a full tank of fuel. I bring like a coat or anything if the weather conditions slow down, because we've gone hiking up there a handful of times to where I'll have a pair of pants and a jacket in case the weather turns cold. Obviously, I have my phone. That satellite texting feature I talked about earlier has been very, very handy, and I've used it on a search and rescue call out last fall. That was my only means of communication. It was actually more reliable in some of the areas than my radio coverage was. So obviously, if I were to head up on my own, I would let a family member know what my intention was, where I plan on going hiking when I, you know, intend on returning. Obviously, they know what vehicle I take, so that's another key indicator. But I also bring liquid like water for hydration and then some snacks or food in case I'm there longer than I anticipate.
That's the only time we break out the Camelbacks, mm-hmm. you know, when we're heading up there, just to have plenty of water on us if anything should happen or we get stuck up there. When I was a little boy, we ended up, our bus died on a field trip and we were out in the middle of nowhere. And that was the driest my mouth had ever been up to that point. And I made a promise to myself that is not going to happen again. So make sure you're taking that liquid with you, folks, and that you're keeping safety in the front of your mind all the time. And again, prepare for the worst and let's hope for the best. And on that, I'm getting the signal. We're going to take another quick commercial break. We will continue with our Sheridan County Sheriff's Office in just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
The rodeo is part of who we are. It's our history, our identity. But boy, this is not your granddaddy's rodeo anymore. The YO is bigger, better, and bolder. Larger purses, tougher competition, and a whole lot of family fun. Come for the world champion Indian relay races, high-stakes BRCA action, and a warm welcome unlike anywhere else in the world. Get your tickets at SheridanYORodeo.com.
We clean hard for you. We're Captain Clean.
We're Captain Clean, Northern Wyoming's premier cleaning company. We stand behind everything we do and ensure 100% satisfaction. Call Captain Clean this spring and let us freshen up your home or office for the upcoming beautiful weather. Captain Clean, 672-0726. Affordable choices for healthy living.
We clean more for you. We're Captain Clean.
Hey, Sarah, what's going on at Sheridan Honda these days?
Great things. Spring has sprung, and we're more excited than ever to find new ways to wow our customers.
What do you mean?
We want to be known as the local dealership that goes above and beyond for the people who do business with us. Our team is constantly looking for ways to show our customers we care. From now until the end of June, random service customers will receive a complimentary interior detail on their car or truck.
Wow!
Now you're getting it. Come see us at Sheridan Honda and Power Sports. We service all makes and models all day, every day. No appointment needed. Give us a chance to make your day.
Adventure Sports in downtown Sheridan is having a huge liquidation-style shoe sale this Friday and Saturday, May 29th and 30th. You can save up to 50% on athletic shoes, hiking boots, and footwear for the whole family, with men's, women's, and kids' sizes available. This is a major inventory clear-out with big savings on great brands while they last. Don't miss this two-day sale at Adventure Sports, 198 North Main Street, downtown Sheridan, this Friday and Saturday only.
The Sheridan Media Online Marketplace is now open through 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Now, it's your chance to score big local savings. Hungry? Need a night out? Tackling a project? Looking to treat yourself? Start here at SheridanMedia.com. Save up to half what you'd normally pay on local restaurants, entertainment, health services, hardware, and a lot more. Now, if you spot something you love, click it, buy it, done. Sheridan Media Online Marketplace, open now through 10 a.m. tomorrow morning at SheridanMedia.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan County Undersheriff, Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Now, something that we must talk about, we talk about every month, and this one has affected many individuals within the community. It must have been a mass text or a mass email that went out. But, Undersheriff, let's talk about it. What does the fake traffic infraction text message claim to be?
Well, that was kind of a neat one in the sense that I received it, as did my wife, and it sounds like I believe you did as well.
I did.
So it was a text advising. You got like a document advising that, I think it was through Laramie County, that there was some type of traffic violation which you had to pay or face, I think, jail time. I think the court date that they had set was the next day, the following day. So you had like time was of the essence. That one appeared to look legitimate, but when you look through it closer, it very much appeared to be AI generated, but that's just something to be cognizant of because it's much more realistic looking than some of the other ones we've seen. So you have what appears to be a legitimate document on its face, but there's numerous spelling errors that you could see if you read through it. Even I believe Laramie County was misspelled. So those are things to see. Then obviously the courts are different. Obviously another big indicator is if you've never been through Laramie County recently, you know, obviously getting that is odd. In addition, like we keep reminding everybody, is you should always be aware that law enforcement, generally speaking, I've never seen them contact anybody by text.
Yeah,
that type of stuff is either most likely going to be a letter sent if it is a potential violation or whatnot. But I think most people are aware if they've been stopped or got a ticket. Never have we called or texted anybody with regard to some type of traffic infraction.
It seems like it would be a little unprofessional.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and for example, if I'm a, you know, Laramie County and I go through it, how would they even know your cell phone number?
Yeah.
To text it? I mean, that's not something that's generally available to us as far as obtaining,
yeah,
especially if it's out of county on the opposite end of the state we're in. So the other hook, obviously we always talk about hooks in the scam of the month, is time. Time is of the essence. It seems to be a predominant factor in every scam that we see, is forcing you to make a quick, knee-jerk, rash decision to pay or something bad happens, right? So just always be aware. You got time on your side. You always have time. If something like this pops up, go through an internet search to find a legitimate phone number for that agency and call them. Don't ever use the phone numbers associated on that potential scam to call.
And I'll say this, one thing that I've noticed, and they are coming up with new scams all the time, but it seems like they work cyclically. So every once in a while, they'll go back to one that they, you know, that really gave them a big payoff at one point.
So if you get something, and if you even think it might be a scam, a simple Google search will usually end up bringing you to an FBI page or an alert like from the Sheridan County Sheriff's Office. Hey, keep an eye on this. And at that point, you can kind of guarantee, okay, I've been dubbed a victim, but you took the steps and you prevented it from happening. One thing that I would like to say just very quickly is the senior population seems to be overly targeted by bad actors like this. So I would recommend speaking to any seniors in your life, sitting them down and saying, hey, they've got all kinds of capabilities now. Is the sheriff's office still kind of compiling these scams? And so if someone comes across a new one and they're like, you know, I think it's a scam, can they give you guys a ring?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the scam of the month, we take any new scam or the predominant scam we have, and we talk about it on this station every month. We compile any type of fraud or scam that comes up. If you feel that you're a victim of that, or even just want to make us keenly aware, contact law enforcement and let us know. We'll document the case. So we very much like to know what's going on in our community so we can let everybody know. And you are very much correct. That's a good key point. The older people, public-wise, they do fall victim. I mean, we've seen those numerous other scams, too, where, you know, somebody claims to be that family member and they need money and they're in jails was a popular one. So I think you hit another key point there, too, when you do a quick internet search, as I did for the scam we're talking about today. And other news agencies had actually sent, and law enforcement agencies had sent out releases for the same scam. So it was very much statewide.
My wife didn't receive one, but she had seen it on one of the social media forums. And that's how she brought it to my attention. Because it, if you want the truth, I get so many different texts and things anymore. And as soon as I open it, I don't even bring it up. Okay, garbage, goodbye. And she said, hey, have you seen this thing? And I sure did last week, came right to the phone. But thanks to you guys coming in here and speaking about this as much as we do, I would say that I'm much more diligent than I used to be. They almost nailed me with a cable scam because they had four or five old addresses of mine, and so I thought it was legit. And so I am glad that I hung up and just called the company. Check with the company itself, and they said, you know, your account's been clear since 2008. We're good to go. So make sure that you're doing your homework. Don't fall victims to these individuals and these bad actors. They'll text, they'll email, they'll even call, and they are using AI, as the undersheriff said, to make these things look as real as possible, to make you kind of panic and react by just throwing money at the situation. Now, something that the undersheriff and I have decided will be a great little segment is old cases. And undersheriff, you wanted to cover one. The Ash Creek armed robbery case, December 2016. This is a lot more recent than I thought we'd cover. I'm kind of fascinated by what happened.
So this was a memorable case. Obviously, you know, we want to start highlighting maybe an old case that's been adjudicated as this one was. All parties that were involved in this have since been charged and pled guilty for their crimes. This one happened December 8th, 2016. I had involvement in it, as did several other deputies and agencies. It was very much efforts put by several agencies to kind of tie these loose ends together, because this was a notable case in the sense that it was so heinous of a crime. We don't have a lot of armed robberies, but also circumstantial evidence played a key part in tying a bunch of other crimes together involving the same group. This one initially came out in the early morning hours, like at, if I remember correctly, around 7 or 8 a.m. And basically four masked and armed individuals shot open the front door to a ranch on Ash Creek Road, defeating the locking mechanism to the road, stormed in and held the homeowner at gunpoint and stole approximately 10 guns and a couple thousand in cash and coin before fleeing.
Holy cow.
The elderly owner was also tied up at the time and obviously had some concerns if he was going to live through the ordeal.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'd be in a panic. I mean, you don't expect things like that, but that's what they're counting on. Living out remotely, thinking that I'm far enough away from everybody, I don't have to worry about anything. But that in itself can also be correct. Tempting to bad actors like that.
Yep, you're very much correct. They did key in on it. So initially when we went through the investigation, we ended up interviewing those involved. They also cued in on the fact that it was close to the Montana state line. It was desolate. It was the only house around. So that desolation also, you know, that might you feel safe also puts you at risk in a sense of they cued in on this specific house because there's no other houses around and no other traffic.
When you arrive at a scene like that, what's the first thing that you really, that you do?
So paramount for us is the safety of the public. So in this sense, when we responded, I think there was three deputies on that morning. We responded to ensure that the homeowner was safe. The homeowner had been tied up, was able to untie himself and called 911, advised that the suspects had fled. So knowing that, we obviously take caution in not knowing if they're still there on scene. RP is kept on the phone in case anything is to change, right? So as we respond, we want to be up to date as far as if they come up, they're still there or anything like that. We want to ensure his safety. In this instance, they left. They left sometime before we were able to arrive, like maybe 5 to 10 minutes because he was tied up for an undetermined amount of time. With that in mind, we preserved the crime scene. So we didn't drive in, go over the tracks. We were able to find two distinct sets of shoe tread patterns and a tire tread pattern that ended up becoming more important because the morning of this, we had a stolen vehicle reported earlier in the morning that had been left at my buddy's place. It was cold, so it was a diesel. It was gelling up, so he left it running and unlocked. And deputies that were involved compared the shoe tread patterns for that same location to the location of our crime scene for the robbery. And lo and behold, we found a similar tire tread pattern and two of similar shoe tread patterns that appeared to all match. So that put our robbery group, obviously we got four of them, right? Put them at both locations. And so then we started hitting up businesses there and trying to obtain camera footage. We were able to obtain a suspect vehicle that was a red pickup. We were able to obtain one of the males that stole the truck from buddies because they could see them going in to just briefly go in the bar, then pull around and take the vehicle. We were able to, what kind of initially broke the case is we went into the old Common Sense store, if you remember where that was at, and inquired about that same suspect we had seen on video. They recalled that same gentleman and said that they used the ATM machine.
Uh-huh.
So able to pull, and we pulled numerous search warrants. We were the case agents for this, but we had assistance from the FBI. And so just because it crossed the state line component there, our suspects were all from Montana. So with that being said, we were able to pull the ATM transaction history, find the specific card that was used, track the purchases and transactions for that specific card that gave us a name, and it gave us the locations they're at, pulled the camera footage for those locations that gave us the same suspect vehicle. Coincidentally, the same group had stopped at Walmart earlier and had bought three different kinds of ammunition, which was important because we also knew that they were all armed at the time of the robbery. In addition to that, a gun had been stolen from that diesel truck that gelled up that they had left that was located in Sharon County. So a gun there, a lot of these kind of the MO for this group, what they would target is they'd target vehicles that were left running and unoccupied and even running and occupied with people nearby, like the owners, as was the case in Billings. But they also had a lot of firearms that were in these vehicles, and yeah, that's how they were obtained through the theft of the vehicle. But once we obtained obviously the footage, Walmart and all that, and the purchases, we were able to track them and track them to Billings is where they were originating from, between here and Billings. And they were stealing vehicles so frequently that the suspect vehicle off the tire tread pattern that I had mentioned earlier, we knew what their MO was stealing vehicles. We called up to Billings and we're like, hey, do you have any red Fords that match the description of their suspect vehicle? And they're like, lo and behold, we did. And so then I called the owner and found out, yep, he just put brand new tires on it, which matched the tires that we found. Had a gun stolen and all this. And so we ended up tracking them by stolen vehicles out of Billings and the surrounding area. And then also when they'd steal one and get another, they'd leave property from one of the other crimes in it.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of circumstantial evidence. We were able to track them that way, connect them to additional stolen vehicles and additional firearms.
When it comes to a big investigation like this, how long did this take from the point of contact with the 911 call to the point where you were throwing handcuffs?
So this one worked out quite well because we had a lot of assistance tying up these loose ends with other agencies. They'd supply reports. So for example, when this group committed that armed robbery in our county, they fled north, swapped out a vehicle, and then went to Billings and stole a vehicle later that same day in Billings. And then ended up trying to steal another one, got arrested, and one of our firearms from this robbery, because 10 were stolen and we didn't obtain all the serial numbers for them, was found in the vehicle. And so then when they were incarcerated, we go through the jail property and they had keys. Obviously, if you stole a vehicle, those keys aren't likely going to be your keys. So the key tags, we started going through and it brought up a predominant name called Billings PD, found out they reported the car stolen. So we knew that they were connected with that crime. And one of the examples, when I went through property, we found that, but there was a wedding ring in one of the gloves. And that ring, this suspect had stolen from one of the other vehicles, the suspect, the red pickup that we were talking
about.
Wow. So he, when I talked to him, he's like, yeah, I had a wedding ring, blah, 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 blah. Ended up was able to return that to him.
That's fantastic. At the same, it sounds like they were just kind of going on a bit of a crime spree, leaving a pretty dirty trail.
Yeah, very much so. This specific individual was released from federal penitentiary like a week and a half before committing this crime.
Wow.
And that subject got 15 to 18 years. One of the other ones got 6 to 8, and then two of the other ones got 8 to 10, if I remember correctly.
That's incredible. Now, at the sheriff's office, we're constantly talking about like detectives and lieutenants with the PD, which, you know, they just deal with what's in the city. At the sheriff's office, do you guys have someone who's like a detective, or do you have detectives themselves? Or is it because you have to act so independently sometimes when you're out there kind of far off in the county on your own? Everyone's a bit of a detective.
Yeah, very much so. So I would say our deputies are pretty well-rounded in the sense that they have to generally take the calls that come in. We do have one investigator, but throughout my career, we haven't always had the investigator, and it's kind of specific to our staffing level. So with that being said, there's no guarantees this investigator is going to take that case from you. So you're going to have to know how to work through the case. In this instance, I'd never had a armed robbery that I can recall till this one, and we were able to work collectively and work with other agencies and find a good resolve to it. It was a huge, huge case. It took over 3 years from beginning to end to get everybody from beginning of the call to the last sentencing hearing I had to attend.
And the last sentence, and how many sentencing how many hearings as an investigator did you have to attend to give testimony or?
Yeah, so that is a great question. So for any felony, we have a preliminary hearing and they can either waive it or have it. So we had preliminary hearings for these guys. We initially got one in January that following month that we charged and he confessed. He was interviewed. Then we got a second, but then the two other ones had fled the area. They were charged eventually on other crimes unrelated to ours. And then we got the last two. But we had here, they were joined. So that one is a little bit different, but we have like sentencing hearings. So, on occasion we can testify for that. And then I know, it just varies. Like if this one was specific that we had sentencing hearings for them all, given the heinous crime and, wanting the judge to know about, you know, what the victim went through. Right.
Yeah.
So, this one was probably around 8 hearings, but we also had 2 alibi defenses for that one subject that got the most time because he came up with an excuse that he wasn't there, not a part of the crime. And then we debunked that one. And then he came up conveniently with another one that we also debunked. And we ended up pulling a Facebook search warrant the week before trial that was pretty damning, to say the least, because their primary method of communication was when they'd steal the vehicles, they'd get an old phone. The victim would shut the phone off, obviously through the cellular provider, but it could still be used on Wi-Fi. So they were communicating a lot on social media, specifically Facebook. And so we pulled that, did a search warrant, got his information, and it had specifics to our crime on there. And then he, like, I think after he was served a copy of that warrant, he pled, changed his plea to guilty within like 45 minutes to an hour.
When it's right there, black and white, mm-hmm. or blue and white, I guess you could say. There's really no arguing against it. Undersheriff, thank you so much for coming in this morning and going over everything that we've talked about. And thank you for this fantastic idea where we get to talk about old cases. I find that quite fascinating. Thank you.
Thank you, likewise.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Shared.
Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation donor advised fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Wyoming has a real choice for Congress. We can send another politician to Washington, or we can send Frank Chapman, a rancher, a businessman. Frank knows a thing or two about balancing a checkbook. Frank's no politician. He's a conservative fighter for people like us. Frank Chapman for Congress.
Frank Chapman lives Wyoming values. Hard work, straight talk, and Frank's never backed down from a fight. Chapman is a rancher, a father, not a politician. Frank Chapman is the conservative we need in Congress. That's why conservative groups like CPAC have endorsed Chapman.
I am blessed in that God put me in a place where I could succeed.
Frank Chapman is the fighter we need in Congress.
Frank Chapman, Wyoming rancher, American businessman. He'll seal the border, back our ICE agents, unleash American energy, defend your Constitution, and make America great again. Frank Chapman, conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming, fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
This 4th of July, the spirit of America's 250th stampedes into Buffalo for the biggest birthday bash in Wyoming, the Red, White, and West 250. Honoring America's 250th anniversary with a night of pure country grit featuring Cole Goodwin. From Nashville to the heart of the Bighorns, Cole is bringing that red dirt honky-tonk, including his latest single, Howdy. It's more than a concert. It's a celebration of the land we love. Get your tickets now at wyotheater.com. And if you're a local business wanting to be part of the action, we're looking for food trucks and artisans to join the celebration. Secure your spot on Vendors Row today by contacting the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce. Don't wait. Get your tickets now for the Red, White, and West 250 with Cole Goodwin, sponsored by the Johnson County 250 Committee, the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce, and your home for real country 93.7 The Coyote.
The Sheridan Media Online Marketplace is now open through 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Now, it's your chance to score big local savings. Hungry? Need a night out? Tackling a project? Looking to treat yourself? Start here at SheridanMedia.com. Save up to half what you'd normally pay on local restaurants, entertainment, health services, hardware, and a lot more. Now, if you spot something you love, click it, buy it, done. Sheridan Media Online Marketplace, open now through 10 a.m. tomorrow morning at SheridanMedia.com.
Our American Stories, Saturday night at 8 on News Talk 930. K-R-O-E.